In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Our Lord God and Savior, the Father of us all, the Pantrocrator, He designed for His creatures tremendous heavenly honor. Imagine you being given the responsibility. For example, you mothers, when you've had a baby and you give that baby to somebody else to take care of, how much trust do you have in that person? And what an honor it is for that person to take care of that baby. That's humankind. That's us. He gave it to the people who seemed most willing to understand, who seemed most willing to pursue Him, who seemed most willing to subjugate their desires for the singular focus of being with God, being a part of God, being God's. Now, you know, we have a single Father. All humankind generates from the creativity of that one Father, God. But we are not all brothers. We are not all brothers. Not in the least. The Jews are not our brothers. The Muslims are not our brothers. The Buddhists are not our brothers. The Confucians are not our brothers. The Jains are not our brothers. The Protestants, they're our brothers-in-law. They have baptism. But you must be baptized, don't you see? This is the seal now. This is the seal that you belong to God. Before it was the movement from the land of Egypt, after the 10 plagues, those who were of the mind to follow the Lord followed Him. Not all the Jews followed. And many of the Egyptians who were pagan did follow. But it became a family. And today, any Jew will tell you, what is Judaism? It's not a religion. It's not a culture. You know, you have such tremendous differences between, you know, the Ashkenazi Jew and the Sephardic Jew. It's not anything except family. And as some of our families are, mine perhaps is a good example of this, are quite dysfunctional. But here, we're trying to go back historically to what the commitment was when the Lord said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And to this they said, Amen. Amen. They, with one voice. And they went to work, and their history was filled with the intervention of God in their lives so that they could perform things that were well above their numbers and well above their social positions and well above their ability to succeed. And when the Lord said, I'm going to give you a land filled with milk and honey, have you ever looked at the Middle East and wondered where the milk and the honey were? I mean, are you kidding me, Lord? Is this your idea of milk and honey? Have you ever seen Wisconsin? Wisconsin has, you know, you heard of the Green Bay Packers, the Cheeseheads? There's plenty of milk there. It's not what I would call milk and honey. But the Lord said, the thing that I want you not to forget when I give you these gifts is the intent by which the gift was given and why the gift was given in the first place. But you know what happened? They forgot. They became drunk with their own success, much like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he built himself a huge statue and he commanded that everybody bow down when they heard the instrumentalists play 3 times a day. Because Nebuchadnezzar was the tool that the Lord used to winnow his own people. But the Jews forgot. And so we have a story now that is given as a parable that the Jews understood completely was about their own history. A man had a vineyard, the vineyard were all of God's beloved. And everyone that God creates is loved. Not everybody that God creates loves him back, that's for sure. But everyone that God creates, God loves. He gave them to them. And then he said, I want to return. He used the idea of the vineyard because when a man plants a vineyard, he expects the grapes to be tended to, he expects wild vines to be cut out, he expects that people that or animals or any kind of disease-bearing entity would be removed from it so that you would have the greatest possible harvest. And what does that mean? It means he's taking care of our souls. These people are taking care of our souls. These are the priests. And so he sent a servant. He said, what have you done? I want to partake of that which you have harvested. And he said, And they sent him away. And then again, and then again. And they beat this person. So he sent, and who are we speaking about? The prophets. Think about the prophets who have come and said, hear, O Israel, hear. You're not doing what you agreed to do. You're not doing what the Lord wants you to do. And you're not doing what is going to protect you from the evil that is going to follow. And in every case it followed. Whether we're talking about Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel or Isaiah, it doesn't matter which prophet we're talking about. They killed them all. They killed them all. So he said, I'll send my son. The Lord Jesus Christ came. And what did the Jews do then? They killed him. They killed him. And they did it because, like most people, when you're in a situation where you feel the power and the majesty of the office, and you begin to think that the office is yours. My priesthood does not belong to me exclusively. It's mine to use under the direction of a bishop, or in our case, a metropolitan and 2 other bishops that serve with him. And more than that, under the control of a patriarch and under the control of the whole synod of bishops. It's not mine. And it can be taken away from me. It can be taken away. And it will be to me the same as it was to the Jews who came and asked, Where is my portion? What have you given me? You know, I work very hard trying to make excuses for myself and the dark part of night. This is what most people do. I'm not alone in this. But the excuse that I try to make is that, Lord, I wish I had done more. I wish I had been more. I wish that the things that I know now I could have put into operation at the beginning instead of waiting to the end. I wish when I had more of my youth left, more years remaining, that the things that I know now I could use for your benefit, God. And not just out of fear of being one of those that the Lord looks down his nose at and goes, tisk, tisk, tisk. But it's a fundamental fact that a lot of times we become so inebriated with our own self-identity. I'm great, I'm good, I'm better. I can do this, you can't do that. There's a old song from the 30s. It says, anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. This is the song. And that's one of the things that we forget, that whatever it is that we possess, it's been a gift. It's not ours intrinsically. It's ours to use while we are here on earth, and not selfishly. So a person has one kind of a gift or another kind of a gift, whatever it happens to be. It's not meant for them alone. It's never meant for them alone. It's meant for them to share with their brothers and sisters, the ones who confess in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Jews said, when the heir comes, we have to make a decision. It's either him or us. Are you willing to give up all that you think about yourself? Are you willing to put aside all of your pride for this? And they said, no, we're not. We want what we have. We want what we have come to expect. And so God the Father, reluctant as he is, as with any good father, he cannot force his child to be good. If the child is going to be bad, the child has the free will to exercise that right. And it's not the responsibility of the father at that point. It's the responsibility of the father when the child is ignorant and doesn't know what to do, but once instruction has been given and there is a clear road, a path to the right or a path to the left, then it's up to the individual to exercise due diligence and choose correctly. So the Jews received their portion. They asked many times, the greatest amongst them, why was God silent during the Holocaust? Why was God silent when 6 million of us were being killed? Why was God silent? God wasn't silent. You have just forgotten the sound of his voice. His voice spoke to you through his son, and you did not listen. Well, it's the same for us. You may have been baptized. You may have been chrismated. You may have communed in the church. You may even in your best moments confess Jesus Christ as my Lord, God, and Savior. But that doesn't save you. That is not enough to save you if your actions do not follow, if what you do does not follow. These things, as they say, you cannot have a spring that spews forth salty water and fresh water. So, The Lord says, through his servant Luke, what then will the owner of the vineyard do who is expected some of the produce of the vineyard? Receiving none, sending his servants who were cast away and beaten, sending his son whom they killed, what will he do? You see, the purpose of the Lord was to join two peoples together. The incarnation was to join the Jews and the Gentiles. And Jesus would be the cornerstone. And the Jews would receive the truth of all that they had gotten on Mount Sinai and all of the 613 laws of Moses. And they would have understood the deep meaning of those laws. And the Gentiles who were living lasciviously, who were profligate, who were living terrible lives, would come to know the truth. And he would join all the peoples, all his children. Not one did he want to go to perdition. But he knew well that when he gave the terrible gift of free will, that some would exercise that in a way that would bring them to directly separate themselves from him. It's a terrible thing. You teach your child the way in which he will be safe, and he chooses the wrong way. It's like when you give driving instruction to a child and then for the first time watch that child take off from the curb alone in a car. The cornerstone is the desire of the Lord for all of us. And I hope you understand that we should never, ever think of those who are going to go to perdition and be happy. We hear very hateful speech from Islam. We hear very hateful speech from many different politicians who perhaps worship a God unknown to us. We have plenty of scoffers. But we should never be happy if they're not going to be with us. Imagine your best friend. Imagine all the best friends you could have had. You know, there was a time when I was by myself in Alexandria, and I went to this beach called Stanley. It's on the Corniche. And I came out of the water, and there was a man with his sons who was eating. And he beckoned me to come over. And I came over and we ate together. He's a Muslim. And I'm wearing my cross so he can see very clearly. That did not bother him. He was a good guy. I wish I had remembered his name. I wish I remember his face more clearly than I do. Or his sons. He was there at the beach to have a good time with his sons. He brought them there to go, and he gave me some food. Now, maybe he was one of these guys that was just curious. Who is this foreigner on this beach? And it's a small thing for me to give him some food because I have plenty. But I didn't think of it that way. I've never thought of it that way. I've always thought of it, he was just a kind person. I have a very close friend named Wong, Donald Wong. He's dead now. He's a doctor. He was a lousy doctor, but he was a good friend. And I wonder where he is. I wonder where he is. I so hope that sometimes the memories of us The memories that we have will be like a testimony before the throne of God, so that when he judges that individual, it will be to their favor. Because I don't want anyone to go to hell. It's a terrible thing to tell anybody to go to hell. It's not our right to say it in the first place, but you could say, I hope you're eaten by wolves. That's much better than to go to hell. That's much better. Because it means separation and departure from Jesus Christ. St. Paul, as you heard today, if you were here in time to hear his epistle, you know, he said, doubtless of all people, you are going to be the seal of my apostolicity, because I have given birth to you in Christ. His sons, his daughters, how he mourned for them when he heard that there was trouble in Corinth, or in Ephesus, or in Philippi, or in Galatia, or in Thessalonica. Whenever he heard that there was a problem, he burned on the inside. I love these people, more so our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us have this mind when we see other people doing terrible things. And let us be alert to our own situation, that we do not participate in any of the acts of those who have departed from the Savior. Glory be to his holy name, now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.